Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, and it's the 4th of August. And a very, very important day in memory of World War One. Very moving articles, discussions, and broadcasts of this event. Now, let's look at the markets here today, because it's a testing, challenging time here right now. And we saw markets rattled last week, and there were basically, at least four factors here that were at play and that had unnerved investors. And first one I would mention is Putin and the Russian-Ukraine situation, and that continues to weigh on Europe and lowered European markets here again today. Then there was the Venezuela debt default. Well, this has happened before, and I think the last time was about 12 years ago, but this unsettled investors to a certain extent, although I thought it was the least important of the various factors that we've seen, partly because it was easy to forecast and presumably a one-off. Third factor, there have been lots of warnings from agencies, senior financial figures, whether from central banks or various agencies. And mind you, we've been hearing this for, at least the last year and a half, and longer in some instances, with a number of high-profile analysts who don't need to be named, but having really been bearish from the 2008-2009 lows onwards. But more recently, though, we've seen some big names come to the fore, and the concern being expressed last week was that Janet Yellen, chairman of the Federal Reserve, might be behind the curve. And that had been triggered by the 4% second quarter GDP growth rate. Now, that's a good growth rate, and that's if that were maintained, that would be back to a very positive so-called normal GDP growth rate. And is that going to be the case? And if we get 4% growth rates in the third quarter and the fourth quarter of this year, then I certainly think that the concerns will be validated, and that short-term interest rates will be going up faster than people have actually expected. But I myself, and this is very much a matter of opinion rather than a fact, what I'm about to say, but I suspect that while this is part of a gradually improving U.S. economy in its sixth year of the credit crisis recession, that it's still too soon to expect such strong growth for the U.S. economy to be leap ahead at a sustainable rate at this stage. I don't buy into that, and neither does the long-dated government bond market. And it rallied for a couple of days on the 4% level, but it didn't go up that high. And tonight, it's just back below that 250 level. Actually, the yield is at 2.483. So that's not indicating or anticipating a discounting a surge in GDP growth and a quick build up in inflation pressures that some people had feared and spoken of. Now, a fourth point, which is something that is certainly I found somewhat unnerving, and had been often mentioned in the Fuller Tracy Money audios and written commentary, was that the number of roundophobia levels that U.S. indices had reached, and these are targets, and so therefore they're reassessment points, and markets do often pause and react, and sometimes peak at these levels. The most important one was the 2000 level for the Standard & Poor's 500 index. That's currently at 1939. The 17,000 level for the Dow, and you can run through the rest of them, but all the indices had reached these round number reassessment levels, and that was a concern of mine. And then I think I've already touched on this one. The additional point was that, I have touched on it, that U.S. GDP growth level of 4%. And again, is that, but just to emphasize this point, is that the new normal, or is it just a bounce back from that much slower first quarter of the year that we actually saw, partly due to the extremely cold weather? Well, I think that's the factor, and I'll be surprised if U.S. third quarter GDP figures actually even reach the 3% level. Or at least put it this way, I don't think they'd be much above that. So then on the other side of the equation, there are some positive developments which should not really be worrying markets at this stage, rather the opposite. And one is the lower prices that we now have for crude oil. I think that's a big relief, given that you go back to early July, and maybe late June, early July, and we saw the crude at very high levels. The Brent, which is the most important of them, up at the 115, even briefly intraday, on nearly 116 at one stage there. So that was a real risk, because crude oil prices, as I've said on so many occasions, can be a game changer. Well, today, the Brent crude is up a little bit here, but it's at 105.53, whereas the WTI U.S. contract is at 98.43. Now, that's not cheap, but more importantly, it's not at a level that is slamming GDP recovery prospects around the globe. Another point here, the belated recovery that China is now beginning to see. And I think that this is a sign that the government has sorted out some of the problems that it needed to tackle, and that it's being a little bit more circumspect, should I say, in terms of its reflationary efforts, and it is creating more liquidity for the banks, while staying away from feeding liquidity into the property market, which had been a big concern for some time. And so we've seen, we know people have been worried about China for quite some time, and it looks better today than it has for quite a few months. The other factor related to that, I would say, is just the general firmness across Asia. Well, now, if that was a sign of overheating, that would be another matter. But remember, a lot of those Asian indices had, particularly the ones that had led from 2008 lows on into the first half of 2013, and I'm thinking now of markets like Indonesia and the Philippines and Thailand. These actually experienced small cyclical bear markets of over 20%, but they've steadied. They spent a lot of time steadying and ranging, and they're now getting back up towards their highs overall. And just generally, the whole Asia Pacific region's markets are firmer, including Japan, and that's I think an encouraging development, while not being one that lends itself to the overheating concerns that lie ahead at some stage. But those could still be more than a year ahead of us, put it that way. And then a factor that is very important, I think, certainly to me. And those are the chart patterns. We are still in these overall uptrends for the majority of indices, so I don't want to be turning too bearish as I see some people doing, while markets are still in overall upward trends. And then to add, last but not least, the fact that liquidity is accommodative, and we don't have that much evidence of overheating, but that liquidity is still certainly a major support for stock markets. Okay, so put that all together, and what does it mean? Well, I think that, and I got my fingers crossed when I say this, metaphorically speaking, but hopefully we just get a normal little reaction and corrective phase, possibly a reversion to the mean, but not too much more than that. I'm not, in other words, I'm not saying, rightly or wrongly, run for the hills here right now, and I still haven't sold anything out of my long-term equity portfolio. Okay, now what happened in here today? And I'll have to go quickly through these now, just given the amount of time I took on that. I don't want to abuse you in this audio by running over too much. So Japan was down a little bit. China was, but Japan has had a good run recently. It's getting a little bit of a consolidation, but it was only down a third of a percentage point. The Hang Seng slightly firmer in here. What then? Now China's. Was China open today or closed? I think it was closed in here today, but the last move that we saw on the charts was a good 38-point gain on that Shanghai Composite Index, up 1.74. I think that was last Friday's gain. Now, Taiwan firmer. The Asian markets generally were all firmer. India, which got clipped on Friday, it didn't regain all of that, but it regained nearly 1% of it, back up to 25,723. That's a market that I really like over the next 5 years, as you know. And so Asia, generally steady overall. Australia was a fraction lower, and so was New Zealand. Now, looking at the European markets, I mentioned that they're still dealing with the pressures of this Russian-Ukrainian thing. It's all about Putin and the sanctions uncertainty, and what is this going to do to their economies, or how much is this going to weaken their economies? It can't help their economies, obviously. And what else might evolve from this situation? So that remains a concern for markets, certainly. Looking at Wall Street, not too bad a day here today. The Dow was up almost half a percentage point. The Standard and Poor's up better, nearly 0.75 percentage point, and the same for the NASDAQ 100 index. Canada a little lower. No, that's not to, that looks like Canada was closed. Mexico up 1.38%, and Brazil up 1.28%. So those are good gains. Now I noticed that we had some strength here. Well, then, let me go to the government bonds. I've already covered those. They're soft in here generally. So I'll go on to what I was starting. I've been talking about these U.S. good crops and that they'd really push this corn, soybeans, and wheat down to quite low levels. Well, they had a good bounce in here today, which they haven't seen for a while. Wheat up nearly 10 cents, corn up nearly, well, over, just over 6 cents, and the soybeans up nearly 22 cents. And when I checked on the news for this, they were talking about concern about the European crops, particularly in France. saying that, of course, it had been very wet last month, as you would have noticed if you were watching any of the Tour de France. It was one of the rainiest periods going, and that the quality of the wheat would be lower, and therefore that more consumption that a lot of that wheat would not be of a sufficient standard to get a top rating, and therefore would be used for feed, and therefore that meant that the demand for the U.S. crop would be higher. Well, those U.S. crops are bumper crops overall. Incidentally, on the wheat, I certainly haven't been roaming all over the U.K. countryside as much as I would like to, on a bicycle preferably, but the U.K. crop seems to be very, very, very good, good generally. Okay, but so those grain prices were higher here today. Precious metal prices were weaker. Palladium down $9.50. Silver down to $20.185. That's down 18.5 cents here today. Gold down to 1288 and change. That's down nearly $5. So soft, the only one that was higher in here today, and it's trading up $1.60 right now, is platinum. They are oversold. Palladium, platinum. I beg your pardon. Yeah, I think platinum also, but certainly palladium, silver, and gold are a little bit oversold on short-term indicators. And among industrial metals, though, copper had a decent day here in the U.S., up 3.25 cents to 1324.7. Oh, and that's pretty much it on this another interesting day. All the very best to all of you.